You know, as we talk about Jesus and being the hands of Jesus specifically, someone might be misled or misunderstand and begin to think that we intend for Christians to do the impossible. What I mean by that is one might readily start to read through the Scriptures and see all that Jesus did, and there's actually quite a bit that Jesus did that we simply are not capable of doing. So as one reads those accounts of Jesus working with His hands, the conclusion might be, I can't do that. I can't do what He did. So I want us to look at least three instances or situations in which this line of thinking may occur, and more specifically, what we can learn about the hands of Jesus that we can imitate. For example, in the first case, the hands of Jesus brought healing. And we recognize that Jesus was able to heal in a way in which we are not able to heal. If you go to Luke chapter 4, you find the record there of a triad of miracles done by Jesus. He first heals a demon-possessed man by simply giving a rebuking command in Luke chapter 4, verse 35. Then Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law by rebuking a fever, Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. Finally, the third triad, He heals the multitudes. If you there in Luke chapter 4, look down at verses 40 and 41. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and laying His hands on each one of them, He was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but rebuking them, He would not allow them to speak because they knew Him to be the Christ. Jesus laid His hands on the sick and He brought healing to them. The sick people, though, were brought to Jesus by concerned family, concerned friends. And so the report, as it's given there by Luke, is all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. Lest we focus on the healing and miss an important point, let it be stated, the hands of Jesus received the people who were brought to Him. The Synoptic Gospels, referring to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, include the record of Jesus cleansing a leper. The three gospel writers present the same report in very similar words. Mark's account, though, is slightly longer. So if you go to Mark chapter 1, you find that there is this discussion about Jesus healing a leper. If you combine all three gospel accounts, you come to the conclusion that Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Then He has come down from the mountain, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, and He's going into one of the cities, Luke chapter 5, verse 12, when our case of Mark chapter 1 ensues. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, it reveals a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then in verse 41, it reveals how Jesus felt about this man. It says He was moved with compassion. Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Acknowledging a difficulty in the text, the word that is translated by our English versions and English Bibles as moved with compassion is a word that's actually from a word meaning to be angry. Acknowledging that difficulty in the text, James A. Brooks commented, "Whether Jesus was filled with compassion or moved to anger, He displayed emotion. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him." Jesus did what others would avoid doing. You simply would not touch a leper. You would avoid them if possible. And if you happened to get too close, it was their responsibility to cry out, leper or unclean, unclean. So many would avoid them. But Jesus was not so willing to avoid. Jesus instead was willing to help the man, and Jesus was willing to cleanse the man. Now verse 42 tells us immediately the leprosy left him, left the man, and he was cleansed. Jesus was willing to help. Jesus was willing to cleanse. Jesus did cleanse. Then Jesus said something very interesting. He sternly warned the man and immediately sent him away, saying, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus helped people who were otherwise avoided altogether. Jesus raised a little girl back to life when he took her by the hand and raised her. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 and following, has a synoptic parallel in Matthew chapter 9 and also Luke chapter 8. It's the ruler of the synagogue. We know him as Jairus because he's revealed as such. He had a daughter who was at the point of death, Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Jesus is then approached and a request is made of Jesus for him to come and lay his hands on the man's daughter. Jesus immediately begins to go with him. He went off with him, Mark 5, verse 24, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. While Jesus was still speaking, Mark 5, verse 35, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" Jesus was finishing speaking about an interruption that had taken place concerning another woman who came to be healed by Jesus. But Jesus overheard what was being said to the synagogue official. So he said to him, to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only keep on believing." Then Jesus allowed Peter, James, and John to go with him. And when they arrived at the official's house, there was a great commotion and much weeping. After putting the people out, Jesus took the girl's parents and the three men he allowed to come with him, and entered into the room where the child was. Then verse 41, taking the child by the hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha cum," which Mark reveals, it translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up," or "rise." The girl immediately got up and began to walk. The people were all amazed, and Jesus said, "Something should be given her to eat." Jesus gave attention to the ruler of the synagogue and to his daughter. The same attention that Jesus gave to the woman in the interrupting situation, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. Cleansing the sick, making people whole, raising the dead, all of these are outside of our abilities. But the hands of Jesus brought healing. The hands of Jesus brought healing that we cannot bring, but His hands are also shown to have received the people who were brought to Him. He touched, or was touched emotionally Himself, by various things about the people who were coming to Him. He did what others would avoid doing, and He gave attention to those who needed His attention. A second situation is the hands of Jesus being used to bring about blessings. Jesus blessed some children in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, the people were bringing their children to Jesus, and the Greek term used for children includes a range of ages from about 8 days old all the way up to 12 years of age. The parent or parents wanted Jesus to touch their child, to touch their children, if there was more than one. The term touch is equivalent to laying hands on with the purpose of imparting or giving a blessing. The disciples are very upset about this, and they rebuke the people, in fact, who were bringing their children to Jesus. They cast it off as maybe being something that they didn't see the children as being that important to Jesus. He had more important matters to tend to. There were more important things to deal with. Jesus became indignant, feeling or showing anger or annoyance at their unfair treatment of the children. And so he welcomed all of the children. Permit, that's let with consent or permission. The children to come to me, Jesus said to his disciples. Do not hinder them. Do not prevent them or forbid the children. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Mark 10. Verse 14, Jesus continued then, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. God will rule over people who come to God and welcome God as their ruler, just as one of those small children would welcome Him. Their humble dependence, their receptivity, their acceptance of themselves, along with their position in life, is a pattern to be followed, and it's an example for us. And he took them, he took the children, into his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Mark chapter 10, verse 16. Blessing them is a phrase, it's two words, that began blessing them rather, is a three-word phrase that represents the beginning and continuance without recognition of the end. In other words, Jesus invoked God's blessing upon the children one at a time. The disciples were upset and rebuked the parents for bringing the children to Jesus. But Jesus took time with each and every one of them to bless them. I love what Warren Worsby wrote in this pericope. He said, "We tell the children to behave like adults, but Jesus tells the adults to model themselves after the children." You see, the hands of Jesus brought a blessing to the children that day, and he brought a blessing of better understanding to the adults. Jesus was often accounted as blessing people. He even blessed his apostles, one of his last things to do on this earth. Jesus, right before his ascension, led his disciples out as far as Bethany, Luke chapter 24, verse number 50. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He lifted up his hands on this occasion as a usual gesture of prayer. But he lifted up his hands to request a blessing from God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 51, while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. In a very special way, Jesus brought the blessing of the Holy Spirit to His apostles. The lesson today for us is that Jesus prayed for the people who would continue His work. The hands of Jesus brought blessings through His prayers, blessing the children and the followers of Jesus in the way that Jesus did is often beyond our abilities, but providing the care for the little ones, and praying for all will bring blessings to the lives of each one. Another situation in which Jesus did some things that we cannot do, but yet reveal some lessons of things we can do, is when the hands of Jesus brought salvation. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem during the triumphal entry, a great parade of people lined the roadsides to welcome Him. as Eddard mentioned this morning in his comments before the observance of the Lord's Supper, most of the people knew Jesus. Most of the people praised Him. Most of the people welcomed Him into Jerusalem that day. In accord with one of the comments given on Facebook, most likely in connection with those thoughts, the people shouted, "Hosanna in the highest," Matthew 21 and verse 9. But all of that quickly changed. The Pharisees were furious over Jesus' growing popularity. And as a result, they wanted to see Him put to death. But there in John chapter 12, Jesus made a request to the Father, "Glorify Your name." And God said with a loud voice from heaven that He had not only already glorified His name, but that He would glorify His name. By the events of the cross, He would glorify His name. Jesus told the Passover crowd that He would be the one to save men through or by the way of the cross. These are His words in John chapter 12, verse 32. He said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to Myself." But He was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which He would die. Jesus would be lifted up on the cross by having His hands and His feet nailed to it. After His ascension, Jesus showed His pierced body to 10 of His disciples, Thomas being absent as Jesus appeared to them this time. And so Thomas was reluctant after the fact. He was reluctant to believe the wonderful report. And so he said in John chapter 20, verse 25, "Unless I see His hands, the imprint of the nails, and put My finger into the place of the nails, and put My hand into His side, I will not believe." John chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them this time. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see My hands, and reach here your hand and put it into My side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to Him, "My Lord and My God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." The hands of Jesus brought salvation. The hands of Jesus brought belief to Thomas that no other hands could bring. But the recorded, written Word of God reveals those hands to us. And so there are many who have not seen, but read the record and believe. Jesus was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God to be nailed to a cross by the hands of godless or lawless men who put Him to death, Acts chapter 2, verse 23. But a very important word, Acts chapter 2, verse 24. "But God raised Him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in its power." We cannot give salvation from sins to ourselves or to anyone else. The hands of Jesus, though, provided proof of His resurrection to the eyewitnesses who saw Him die. And it's because He was raised that He can give life. The hands of Jesus have brought salvation to everyone who believes, those who saw Him, and even to those who have not yet seen Him. We can bring this message to the world. Now there's a lot of lessons to be learned, some of which we'll share, from the hands of Jesus and what He did that we ourselves cannot do. You see, we cannot do everything Jesus did. We cannot heal the way Jesus healed. We cannot bring blessing into the lives of others the way Jesus did. Nor can we bring salvation. But we can work to bring people to Jesus so He can heal them. We can receive the people who come to Him. We can know that it's okay to experience emotion and even express that emotion over those who come to Jesus or even those at times who reject Him. What we need to do is watch how Jesus behaved and how He acted. Do what other people avoid doing. Interact with, care for, provide for those who are otherwise avoided altogether. Unlike the instructions to the leper, we have been instructed to go and tell about all that Jesus has done. Like the leper, we should go and show to the world the change that Jesus has brought into our lives. We ought to give attention to those who need attention, especially those who are looking for help. We ought to view everyone as important, even to the smallest of children. And we can pray. Pray for the people who will continue the work of the Lord long after we are gone. Pray for God to flood His blessings upon them. Our lives have proven that we need the blessings of God, and they will too. We can share the gospel with everyone, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And it's the message of what Jesus did with His hands, some of which we cannot do. But even in those moments, they teach us great things that we ought to do. You see, Jesus wants nothing more than to heal the broken people and those who are hurting. He wants to bless everyone of any age and to give salvation to those who believe with a broken and contrite spirit. And so the very words of Jesus, He says that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. He says that he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. It's the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. It's again the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, that everyone who confesses Him before men, he will also confess before His Father who is in heaven. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said in John chapter 3, in verse number 5, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to explain that being born again, specifically being born of Spirit, is impossible for us to explain, but it is the work of God. God says that He does it, John chapter 1, verse 13, so that we can be saved, John 3, verses 1 through 21. And it happens at baptism when we are born of water. Matthew chapter 6 and, or Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. We take Jesus at His word that in order to be saved, we must hear that message. Believe it, repent of sins, confess the name of Christ, be buried with Christ in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life. To share His message. Then Jesus instructs, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus for healing. Come to Jesus for a blessing. Come to Jesus for salvation, which no one else can give. Because at the hands of Jesus, all your needs will be met if you'll come to Him as we stand and as we sing.